It's just that I've been losing so long. La 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 la. My dreaming. I won't do too much scheming these days. These days I sit on cornerstones and count the time in quarter turns to ten. Please don't confront me with my failure. Forgotten
there. I am Boutros Ghali. Put down your gun and listen to
Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
Wipe this tear from my eye. Haven't even felt this warm in a long time. Even out in the bright sunshine, in a lifetime of springtime. I fall into your arms and my heart pumping on like a bubbling dub track. Like a garlicky hot to the lips smack. I did some contemplation before we got down to this consecration. Or maybe, baby, something in your kiss said it was an impetus for me to rethink this. If I love you, then I better get tested. Make sure we are protected. I walk through the park, that's like a question mark. Hark, I hear my memory bark in the back of my brain, making me insane like cocaine. But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? Or how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? It dawned on me, it seemed to me that this is unusual scenery. This red light greenery made me feel kinda dreamery, thinking how I used to be. Arrive at the clinic and walk through the front door. I take a nervous number, then I'm thinking some more about all the times that I neglected, making sure that I was protected. They took my blood with an anonymous number. 2 weeks waiting, one should have done this a long time ago. A lot of excuses why I couldn't go. I know these things and these things I must know, but it's better to know than to not know. But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? Or how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Who they slept with. I think about life and immortality. What's the first thing I do if I'm HIV? I have a cry and tell my mother. Get on the phone, call my past lovers. I never thought about infecting another. The times that I said, don't bother. Was it really all that magic? The times I didn't use a prophylactic. Would my whole life have to change? Would my whole life remain the same. Sometimes it makes me wanna shout. All these things too hard to think about. A day to laugh, a day to cry, a day to live and a day to die. Till I find out I may wonder, but I'm not gonna live my life 6 feet under. Cause how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm positive? Is it gonna be a negative? But how am I gonna live my life if I'm
listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And today is a very special day. It is World AIDS Day. On December 1st, we all take a moment to reflect on who we've lost and what has happened over the last 30 years and look to the future to find new vaccinations and support for those that are affected by HIV. So I hope you're all out there wearing your red ribbons today in solidarity with people who are living with HIV. We're very lucky. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have Heidi Morgan, who is the grocery coordinator for AIDS Vancouver. She's going to come in and talk to us about AIDS Vancouver and about the grocery and how important they are to the Vancouver community and a lot of people that don't have as much as we all do. So I'm very excited to have her in here today. So on today's program, the first part is going to be paying homage to people that have been living with HIV by playing a few songs that are HIV related, just to get you guys inspired to be more involved in the issues of HIV and AIDS. Right up there at the top, we had Michael Franti and Spearhead with their song Positive from their album Home of a long time ago now. That was released back in 1994 when Franti was fresh-faced. Positive was also released on the Stolen Moments Red Hot and Cool compilation album by the Red Hot organization. And we will be featuring a couple of tracks from some pretty sweet bands later on from one of the most recent Red Hot organization compilations, Dark Was the Night, in honor of World AIDS Day today. As we all know, Franti is a huge advocate of a lot of different things, but recently he was involved in a film called I Know I'm Not Alone, which features footage of Iraq and the Palestinian territories and Israel. He decided to embark on a three-week journey with friends to view the cost of war in the Middle East firsthand. He says that the film came out of his frustration with watching the nightly news and hearing generals, politicians and pundits explaining the political and economic cost of the war in the Middle East. So he wanted to go and find out from himself. And the film aims to speak to multiple generations and to give people a better understanding of the peace of the people who still live in war-torn countries. So if you're a new listener to Are You Aware, we always try and profile music and musicians that are involved in philanthropic endeavours or the song has a social positive message, like Positive, which was talking about a person's experience on receiving the news or the life-altering news of having HIV. But we'll get more into that a little bit later on. Right now we have another song by Mary Guthrie. She is from New Orleans in Louisiana. She's had a pretty hard life, and she only actually started turning towards music at the age of 35. So after a terrible life where she was given up at birth and went through drug rehabilitation and halfway houses and a whole bunch of stuff, she decided to get sober after she had was arrested for drunk driving in 1990. And after achieving sobriety, she was driven to dedicate herself full-time to songwriting and embarking upon a career in music. And thank goodness she did. She wrote her first song at age 35, and the song that we're going to hear today is actually based around her experience living in the queer community and losing a lot of friends to HIV. So this song is called Goddamn HIV by Mary Gauthier. You're on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
My name is Michael Joe Alexandre. I've been a queer since the day I was born. My family, they don't say much to me. My heart knows their silence as scorn. And my friends have been dying. All my best friends are dead. I walk around these days with their picture in my head. Spend my time thinking about some things they said. And I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know what all of this means. I don't think it means what it seems. We used to party all night till the dawn. I can still see the boys with their tight leather on in the downtown bars where it always is night. I could hang with my friends and feel alright. I was 30 years old when the sickness first came, and it rolled through my world like a wind-driven flame, leaving ashes, memories, funerals and pain. And I don't know what's happening to me. Goddamn HIV. And I don't know what all of this means. I don't think it means what it seems. When I was a boy, I'd get scared late at night, and my mama would come and turn on the light. But there's nobody here with me tonight. And I don't know what's happening to me. Sometimes at dusk, I walk the train tracks. And I walk and I walk like I ain't coming back. I look at the sky, so endless and black. Man, I swear, it's swallowing.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Sometimes get to feeling I was back in the old days, long ago, when we were kids, when we were young, things seemed so perfect, you know. The days were endless, we were crazy, we were young. The sun was always shining, we just lived for fun. Sometimes it seems like lately, I just don't know. The rest of my life's been just a show. Those were the days of our lives. The bad things in life were so few. Thank you.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9. And we're doing a bit of a World AIDS Day special in honour of the most important day in the calendar. World AIDS Day, December 1st. I hope you guys are all wearing your red ribbons. And here's a fun fact. Did you guys know that the red ribbon was the first ribbon of its kind used as a fundraising, I don't want to say ploy. Ploy is the wrong word. A fundraising initiative and encouragement. So, yeah, that was designed in 1990. So, wear the original, the one, the only red ribbon to show your solidarity with people who are living with HIV, not only in Vancouver, but all around the world. So, we had a triplet of HIV-related songs to inspire you to be more involved with HIV issues. We had, at the top there again, Mary Gauthier with her song Goddamn HIV from her album Dixie's Kitchen. In the middle there, we had Queen with one of the last songs that Freddie Mercury did, These Are the Days of Our Lives, from their album Innuendo. They formed in 1971 and they did a show in 1985 for Live Aid, and people around the world that saw that, and a lot of musicians say that that was probably one of the greatest rock performances of all time. And in 2005, it actually became official. An industry poll named it the greatest rock performance at all time. Unfortunately, about 15 years after Queen, 15 or 16 years after Queen started, fans noticed Mercury's increasingly gaunt appearance in 1988, and rumors began to spread that Mercury was suffering from HIV/AIDS. Unfortunately, at that point in HIV history, there was a lot of fear mongering around that time, and a lot of people were not supported, or were they not given the platform to speak about this in an open manner, and there was a lot of stigma around it. I mean, there is stigma today, but back then it was pretty horrific. So he actually flatly denied this, insisting he was merely exhausted and too busy to provide interviews, which I find is a little bit of a lost opportunity, unfortunately, because I think he would have been a great advocate for the HIV/AIDS movement. Then on November 23rd, 1991, he prepared a statement made on his deathbed where he confirmed that he had AIDS. And then within 24 hours of that statement, he died of bronchial pneumonia, which was brought on by complications of AIDS, unfortunately. So These Are the Days of Our Lives was actually the last music video that Queen did, and it contained final scenes in front of the camera. It was the eighth track on the band's 1991 album Innuendo. And then right there we had Pet Shop Boys with their song Being Boring from their album of from 1990 called Behavior. The reason I chose that one was because I found out that Neil Tennant said that this is one of the best songs that we've ever written. And he explained, for me, it's a personal song because it's about a friend of mine who died of AIDS. So it's about our lives when we were teenagers and how we moved to London, and I suppose me becoming successful and him becoming ill, unfortunately. And unfortunately, a lot of people say that people have died from AIDS, and that's not actually 100% true. People get HIV and then they lose their immune system. It attacks the immune system. And then at a point when their T cells get to a very low level, they do get acquired immunodeficiency. And then an opportunistic disease will come in and take over, like bronchial pneumonia, and they don't have any immunization to fight that. And that's what usually happens. So it's really important to know the vocabulary around what you should say when you're talking about HIV/AIDS. And today we're very, very lucky. We have a special guest in the studio, Miss Heidi Morgan. Welcome, Heidi.
Thanks, Fleur.
She is a fantastic worker at AIDS Vancouver. She is the coordinator of the grocery, and you've been running around ragged today. Tell us what's been going on.
Well, it's been a busy day. Yeah, for World AIDS Day, we were at the Whole Foods Market, and they did a 5% day where they are donating 5% of their proceeds from all the stores in Vancouver and in West Vancouver to our grocery program. So we were there helping bag groceries and give out information and ribbons.
Making sure everyone left with the red ribbon?
You betcha, yeah.
And how was everyone's feelings towards it? Did you get a lot of positive attitude and everyone was stoked about it?
Yeah, the people were really happy about it. That's awesome. You know, I think it's the season as well that people are really geared into giving, but you know, they also have an initiative for the food bank as well. And people didn't seem pissed, you know, that there was more than one thing that, you know, that they were doing. And everybody was really happy, and they were happy to talk to us about who we are and what we're doing. And it was super busy. So I think that...
That's good.
it really is. Yeah.
And so basically Whole Foods said that on World AIDS Day, 5% of their net sales was going to go to AIDS Vancouver?
Yep, specifically to the grocery program.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So before we get to the grocery program, can you tell us a bit about AIDS Vancouver for the listeners out there?
Sure. AIDS Vancouver started in 1983, and it was really six men sitting around a dinner table who were dismayed and sad about the devastation that they were seeing around them, and their friends were dying, and it was horrifying, and they knew that they had to do something.
Well, and I guess at that time there was no service organizations or support organizations out for HIV people.
AIDS Vancouver is the oldest ASO, AIDS Service Organization, in North America.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, as many people did, they built support services, and we have a case management team that helps support people living with HIV as well. And so the case management will help people connect to other services, to help fill out disability forms. They'll help them with housing. They're basically the first stop when somebody comes in to AIDS Vancouver. And then we have our grocery program that I run, and a care team of volunteers that will help support people living with HIV with, you know, just socializing, practical things like shopping when they're ill, taking their dogs for walks when they're not able to. We have a whole prevention team as well that goes out and educates the community and surrounding areas. And we have a helpline as well for people, the general public, to call in and get information.
So it's kind of like a three-pronged enforcement, you know, it's like your prevention, you encourage prevention, and you support support different people that have HIV in different ways, and then you guys act as well, which is amazing.
And that's the motto, is prevent, act, and support.
Mm-hmm. And especially back in the day when this this was an early epidemic and we didn't really know that much about people, I mean, about the disease and the virus and how it was transmitted and who was being affected, and, you know, even so much as, you know, a daily life, you know, daily life for someone with HIV, I mean, it's a horrific virus to have, and it's not like you're popping one pill. Back in then, you're popping handfuls of pills, right?
Well, and imagine before they even, like, there was a lot of work that had to be done to, first of all, to figure out what it was, and then secondly, how to treat it. And, you know, it was tons of trial and error. And I just watched a documentary recently called We Were Here, and they talk about the different trials that the clinical trials that they led to try to figure out how to help, you know.
Well, and I mean, I guess the first generation of HIV affected people were essentially guinea pigs for the drugs.
They were, and they had one nurse in the film that was very poignant in speaking that message about the many things that she felt. She knew that it was so important, but she also was so respectful of the people that were involved in the trials and their families, and they were very aware that the people were guinea pigs. Yeah.
Well, and it's just, And I guess back then, and it still continues now, the stigma. I mean, back then, a lot of people cried ignorance. They didn't know and they were scared, and, you know, ignorance breeds fear. And now we're supposed to know more and supposed to know better, but it still seems like there's a lot of stigma out there. Do you see that coming through your work?
There is a lot of stigma out there. I used to do the helpline before I took over the grocery, and we'd be out doing events and stuff, and there are some people that will just steer clear, you know. I remember one guy in particular came up, and we have these like safe sex kits, and he was looking at it, and his friend came up and said, "Oh man, you don't need that. You know, what are you doing? Like talking to these guys, you know?" And his friend looked kind of embarrassed, you know? And he was like, "Oh yeah, you're right." And so he like put it down and walked away.
Wow.
And I think that there is some genuine ignorance out there still. And I think because of the way that it's transmitted, there's a lot of stuff around it. But HIV doesn't discriminate, so...
Why should you?
Yes.
Exactly. Well, and you just think we think we've come so far. It's been 30 years that this has been around and has been affecting and devastating lives, and not only the lives of the person that's being affected, but the lives of the family and the friends that are left behind. Mm-hmm. And we're still no closer to actually getting people to, A, wear condoms, B, not being so prejudiced around people that have HIV. You know, I think some people still think you can get it by hugging someone. Like,
yeah, we've done like street fairs and stuff where, and in areas like in the downtown east side where like up to 30% of people are infected, and people still think they can get it from kissing, and, you know, and there, yeah, there's a lot of misinformation. I think one thing that I've learned is that it takes a long time for people to, because it really is about each individual deciding that they're going to do something to either educate themselves or be involved, and, you know, and then carry that message forward. And it takes a lot of context for people to get it, and it's just not present in a lot of people's lives.
And that's why we need to have World AIDS Day.
You know to, it, sister. Yeah.
To promote it and say, you know what? It's not too hard to hug someone that's suffering.
That's right.
And a hug goes a long way, or just understanding and reducing that stigma, those barriers of stigma, goes a long way.
You know, and when AIDS Vancouver first started, a lot of it was, you know, just simple caring. And that message is carried forward in, you know, ever since it began. But there was just people there that wanted somebody to know who was living with HIV that they weren't afraid to hug them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is awesome. So when I get guests to come in the studio, I'm a little bit of a music nerd, me, and I love to know what inspires people to be involved in social justice and the like. So when I contacted Heidi about coming onto the show, I asked her to do an Are You Aware mixtape, where I get to ask my interviewees to bring in three songs that inspire them to be involved in social justice. So today, let's have a break and listen to one of your songs. So what's your first song that you chose and why?
The first one is Messages by Xavier Rudd. And I love Xavier Rudd. But this one in particular, you know, we're talking about how it takes a long time for people to change their mind and change their attitudes. To me, in this song, I just hear so much of his acceptance about, like, guess what, guys? It's going to take a long time. And guess what? People may not hear what you're trying to say. But that doesn't change that, you know, you can still do something. And there's a certain acceptance in it. And he's such a gentle warrior to me.
We had him on the studio. He was one of our first, he sat in that exact seat. He was one of our first musicians to come on and do an Are You Aware mixtape. We changed it up with the musicians. We asked them to choose three songs that inspire them to be involved in positive change, and then they get to choose one of their other songs. But I'm giving you a little preview. Heidi Morgan is also a musician, so we will be... Is this a Vancouver exclusive on the radio tonight? No. Oh, damn it. I thought I was going to get some special treatment.
This actually first aired on the radio on CFRO.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later on. But right now we're going to have a break, and we'll be back with Heidi Morgan to find out all about the goodness of the AIDS Vancouver grocery. This is Messages on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
So now come sit down, will you talk with me now? Let me see through your eyes where there is so much life. We are biding our time for these myths to unwind, for these changes we will confront. So please beware with every place that you head, and look to your soul for these things that you know. For the trees that we see cannot forever breathe with the changes they will confront. You know, some people, they just won't understand, or just won't understand these things. Looking for your message, but I don't understand, or just won't understand these things. This sacred land, it has seen many hands. It has wealth and gold, yet it is fragile and old. And now the greedy souls just don't care to know of the changes it will confront. So speak out loud of the things you are proud. And if you love this coast, then keep it clean as it holds. Cause the way that it shines may just dwindle with time, with the changes it will confront. You know, some people, they just won't understand, or just won't understand these things. Thank you for your message, but I don't understand, or just won't understand these things. You know, some people, they just won't understand, or just won't understand these things. Thank you for your message, but I don't understand, or just won't understand these things.
Listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And we had our first of three Are You Aware mixtapes from Miss Heidi Morgan, the grocery coordinator of AIDS Vancouver and an absolute superstar. So that was Mr. Xavier Rudd, his song Messages from his album Food in the Belly. And you know what? That's a great segue into Food in the Belly in the Grocery.
Funny we're how just, that worked out.
We're just loving ourselves sick right now with these segues. We're just rocking.
Yeah.
And neither of us had any sleep for the last couple of days getting ready for everything.
That's true.
So tell us about the grocery, because this is one of the main programs of AIDS Vancouver where you need the most support, don't you?
Mm-hmm. It is the program with the greatest need, and it is essentially grossly underfunded. And I don't, you know, I I don't laugh at that. I mean, I really mean that. It's we have a big need. It started in the late 80s. Basically, they started handing out bags of food in the back alley, and then it moved to a pantry style system where people could come and be involved and have some choice in what they were taking. So people come in and they check in with us and give us their name, and then they grab a basket and they come through the grocery and choose what they want and what we have to offer from week to week. And we're open usually 2 days for the first 2 weeks of the month. And if there's a 5-week month, we're open for 3 weeks. But we basically work around the check issue week so that there's not a huge gap in when people have funds.
So who's accessing the grocery when you say check issue week for people that might not understand what that's about?
Fair enough. Yeah. So that's the Ministry of Housing and Social Development. For people that are, well, it's also disability. Disability is around the same time as those check weeks, but people that are on social assistance, basically. And so the people that come to the grocery are like clients of ours. So there are people living with HIV and potentially Hep C as well, and they're low income as well, so they're making under $20,000 a year.
You can barely buy bread each week for under 20 grand a year.
I can't imagine how people manage. Mm-hmm. I really can't. So we do the best we can to you know, support people nutritionally and help them with food security.
So, and that's one of the biggest issues with a lot of people that come through through AIDS Vancouver. They're usually lower income, have a lot of social barriers to health and things like that, because they might be living in what we call SORs, which are single occupancy.
SROs, yeah.
SROs, I got it the wrong way. Yes.
Single room occupancies, yeah.
And I mean, that has it in itself, it's a challenge as well, because it's hard for them to store food and cook nutritional meals and things like that. So what kind of food do you guys try and provide for AIDS Vancouver clients through the grocery program?
Well, every time we're open, we always have fresh produce. I would love to offer more than what we do, but we do offer a bit of fresh produce, milk. We always have a protein item, so we have eggs in the first week, and then following weeks we'll have things like tuna or other protein items. And we always have cereal and a hygiene item. And we rely a lot on donations from the Greater Vancouver Food Bank Society. A lot of that stuff is like canned goods. But, you know, we'll always have milk and we'll always have produce and cereal. And some sort of protein.
So for people out there and are probably thinking, so we have the Greater Vancouver Food Bank and then we have the AIDS Vancouver, essentially a food bank. So what's the difference? Why one instead of the other?
And sometimes people have the misconception that people are, in essence, double dipping into that system. But the bottom line is that a lot of our clients won't actually access the Greater Vancouver Food Bank because of the stigma that they face,
and solely the stigma around it.
I mean, it's I would say largely.
Wow.
That's the biggest issue.
And the AIDS Vancouver grocery program, like doing my research and things like that, it was there was a huge focus on nutritionally relevant food for people mm-hmm. with HIV. So can you talk to me about why is nutrition so important to people living with HIV?
Well, because HIV attacks the immune system, the more nutritionally dense food people eat, the better they'll be able to help their immune system, and it will help sustain health. Whereas they won't get sick as easy. And just, you know, even practical aspects of it, like that some medication can't, like you have to have food in order for the medication to be absorbed properly. Otherwise, it can become resistant to the medications and it can become a big mess. There's something, my personal view, excuse me, is that there's a feeling of security around food. I mean, it's a very base, you know, crucial need. You will die if you don't have food. So lack of it, like there's an emotional component to that as well.
And you were talking about the medications. I mean, some medications, if you're a high fat diet, will cause you more trouble. You know, like there'll be worse side effects depending on your diet as well with some of the medication. Is that true?
Yeah, basically food helps the medication process as well. Yeah.
And so I hear that there's something coming up on December 13th.
You're
a busy lady with the Whole Foods Today and then the grocery program, you know, every second week. And then what's happening on December 13th?
Well, December 13th is our holiday grocery
event. It's not on
event.
Friday, is it? Because that would be spooky.
No. No, and that's a good thing. No, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, December 13th. And we actually do an annual holiday grocery event. And it's a special time of year where we really rally to get community and suppliers and new donors involved in offering more. Like, it's a special offering, and it might be the only, you know, festive food that somebody gets during that time of year. So we see it as a special opportunity to connect with clients, and all the staff get involved as well. And I mean, we have 17 volunteers that help me run the program. On this day, we have like 35 volunteers.
Wow.
And so it really is, it's not, it's, you know, it's for our clients, obviously, but it's also a really great way for people to get involved.
And I read somewhere that you guys give out nearly 800 grocery bags a day.
On this day,
yeah. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, people come sort of out of the woodwork. You know, we plan for 600 on a regular grocery day, but yeah, people show up for the holiday. So yeah, we could do up to 800 bags in one day.
That's phenomenal. And how many people do you serve annually? And how many grocery bags do you give out?
Well, we have roughly 1,200 clients registered for the grocery, and we pass out like over 16,000 bags of food annually. And a lot of those people have children as well, which is don't think a lot of people make that connection, but we're feeding a lot of children as well.
So that's a significant amount of groceries for one coordinator and 16 volunteers to do. That's an amazing effort.
It's quite the operation, yeah. Yeah, and it, you know, we're fueled by a passion to make it happen. So
exactly. Now, why is the holiday grocery so important? Because it's from what I hear, it's like the day where everyone gets so excited that they have the festive food. And, I mean, trying to get 800 people, you said that people go in and get to choose their own groceries, so there's a sort of autonomy with what kind of food they're choosing and using. Mm-hmm. How the heck can you get 800 people through a grocery room in one day? You're a magician.
A lot of that comes down to the logistics of it. And, you know, in our normal grocery space, they come in one door and they leave the same door. In this day, we have another room that we make available, and they come in one door and they go through like a, you know, out one door into the next room and then out the door. And so it's just mostly like logistics and how it flows. And it's a bit more streamlined, whereas during a regular week we'll have, like, they'll go around and collect it, and then we'll have baggers that like bag the stuff for them. Where in the holiday one, they just get a bag and they fill it, but each, like, there's volunteers at each station that put it in the bag for them.
So each volunteer is giving out like one kind of food product, like, say it be peanut butter or
ham or milk or
so. Yeah. There's just like a pile of 800 hams.
Yeah, it's
a Christmas tree of hams.
Yeah. Well, we set things up a little bit differently, where we would normally have one shelf of ham, like canned ham. So, for example, we'll have three three shelves, and we have people, more people running around stalking, and yeah, it's hectic.
I hear it's quite the event. Like, you have music and it's all festively decorated and everyone seems to be, like, super happy and stuff from what I hear.
It is. You know, I think it's a special, it's special simply because of the way everybody feels about it. You know, like, I've played music there for a couple years now, and there's just... It's really where community is at, and people feel cared for, and, you know, not everybody's excited about the holidays, you know. Let's face it, it's depressing for a lot of people generally.
And especially if you've been isolated for some reason from your family or friends as well.
Well, this is it, right? Like, there's a lot of people that, because of the stigma and all that stuff around it, they've been, you know... They become the black sheep of the family, and we are their family. Mm-hmm. And so they connect with us, and you know, it's sad that it happens that way, but that's the way it is.
And I hear that, what time does grocery start on that day, like 9?
We have the people with mobility issues come in from 9 to 9.30, and then it goes till 3.30.
And there's usually a line around the block, isn't there? Or there's a significant line at 9?
Yeah, we always wish for more space, you know, on this day, because it is logistically challenging to, like, because, yeah, people line up and... Long before it gets going, yeah, there's a line well out the door and, you know, down the way.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to another musical choice of yours, but when we get back, Heidi's going to tell us how you can be involved and her personal connection to the program, which is just a beautiful story. So what do we have next, Miss Morgan?
Well, we've got Bonnie Raitt covering a Mosey Allison song called Everybody's Crying Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pro-peace song, but what I love about it is that it just calls BS on all the different, like, in terms of war, like, all the different reasons that the government and whatever puts forward as to why we need war. And
all
it just it just calls bullshit on it.
Yeah. Say it. It's community radio. Just say it.
And it calls a spade, you know, and I appreciate that. I respect that. And it's a cool, sexy blues song, too.
Well, you know what? And we're a big fan of cool, sexy blues on Are You Aware?
Bring it.
So here we go. Do you want to... You can announce it. What is it?
Everybody's Crying Mercy by Bonnie Raitt.
Excellent. You're on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
I've been wondering about some things I've heard. Everybody's crying mercy when they don't know the meaning of the word. A bad enough situation is sure. Get your own souvenir. Well, you know the people running round in circles. They don't know what they're headed for. Everybody's crying peace on earth just as long as we win this war. Thank you.
Damn, that was sexy. Mm-hmm. You're on RUA, Music That Has Something to Say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And we're here with AIDS Vancouver Grocery Coordinator Heidi Morgan to tell us all about the great stuff that AIDS Vancouver does and her involvement with the grocery program. So you've been the grocery coordinator for how long now?
Since February.
Since February. But you were part of AIDS Vancouver before that, right?
Yeah, I started in July of 2009.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And so what made you transition from your old position with AIDS Vancouver into the grocery coordinator's position?
Well, I mean, being involved in AIDS Vancouver has always been special to me, period. But the grocery program in particular, because I used to go in there with my dad. He was a client there while he was alive.
And how did you find the grocery program back then? Like, what really made it stick for you when you took your dad in?
Well, when he first told me he was HIV positive, like, I didn't know how anything would be okay ever. And I couldn't really, like, put it together in my head of how that would be okay. And he started telling me about AIDS Vancouver and BCPWA, the BC Persons with AIDS Society, which is now the Positive Living Society of BC. He was telling me about these two organizations that really helped him. And he was like, you know, why don't you come down there with me? And I had a lot of stuff around that, you know.
Understandably.
You know, and that's part of why I think you know, people need to decide that they're going to, you know, change their minds about stuff, because it's one person at a time. But anyway, so I begrudgingly went down there with him, and I was nervous, and I walked in, and people were so awesome. Like, they were just, there was no judgment, you know. We were greeted with respect and caring, and it just wasn't what I had feared. And I started to see how it might be okay.
And I think a lot of the time people really focus on the physical health of people with HIV and then forget about, like, how important having someone be nice to you and understanding, you know, because you are dealing with a lot of mental health issues at that point, you know. You're feeling stigmatized, you're feeling lost and alone and disillusioned, so it makes a significant difference, I'd think.
For real, yeah.
And not only, like you say, not only for your dad, but for you, the friends and family around that are also grappling with the news of what's coming.
Yeah. You know, and for me to be the person that greets people now, like, that's an honor for sure.
You your heart must glow every time you go in there. That's awesome.
It's a win-win, yeah.
So saying it's a win-win, let's talk about how people out there can win, be winners.
Come and be a winner.
Winning with AIDS Vancouver.
Come and win.
Oh, my gosh. So how can people be involved with not only with the holiday grocery event, which is on December 13th, but also with the AIDS Vancouver grocery in general?
Well, we're always accepting in-kind donations, and monetary donations, of course, are amazing. You know, we do need volunteers for special events. What we like to try to encourage people with the in-kind donations is, like, if, say, you wanted to have a party and you wanted us to receive donations, you get everybody to kick something in, you know, when they come. What we try to encourage people to do is, like, do the same item.
So have a canned tuna party or something like that?
You know, like, you could do some sort of, like, sea theme, you know, and, like, get everybody to bring a can of tuna, you know.
Or,
you know, some sort of, like, theme around comfort. You could get everybody to bring a jar of peanut butter. It's a lot easier for us to manage if we have, you know, like, a whole bunch of the same thing. You know, and we'll take whatever. Don't hear me wrong on that one. We're grateful for anything that we receive, but it is easier when we get a lot of the same thing.
And how is the grocery funded? Like, is it you operate through donations, or is it grants, or is it a combination of all three?
It's a combination. Like, Vancouver Coastal Health kicks up for our admin costs. So my position and some, you know, like, photo copy stuff and stuff, you know.
All that really sexy office work.
You know, it's so exciting. But all the food, there's not a secured funding source for the food. So we do a gaming grant every year. That's a big piece of that. And we rely on the kindness of people and grants and... and the food bank. The food bank, the Greater Vancouver Food Bank Society, has been a huge... I don't know if we could do it without them. One of our challenges is that as they have left less to offer us, we have to purchase more. And, you know, it's grossly underfunded as it is. So we're kind of at situation critical.
So how much does it cost for you guys just to produce the food a year?
We have to raise $150,000. Wow. And that is like not even much, you know, for each person. If you consider that we've got 1,200 clients that access it, when you crunch the numbers, it's amazing that we do what we're able to do.
So what would be your dream for the grocery? What would you like to see happen?
The stress of the funding really has been about putting food on the shelves. If in my dream world, it would all be like super nutritionally dense food, organic. We could be open more than we are. There's a lot of weeks where there's a gap, you know, in that we're not open. But I think for me, it would be more about working out the quality of what we offer rather than the quantity.
I guess having like alternatives like soy milk and things like that, organic mm-hmm. products.
Yeah, you bet.
So how can people connect with you to help out?
Well, you can visit our website at www.aidsvancouver.org. And then there's a drop down for what we do, and there's a grocery page. You can go there. And or you could give me a call at 604-696-4678.
Your number's listed on the
website. On the webpage too. Excuse me. And my email is there as well.
So I've just come up with an idea. All you guys that are having your ugly Christmas sweater parties this
year. Yeah, get on it. I didn't mean that like, you know, yeah. That would be lovely if you could please get on that.
So instead, not only wearing those ugly Christmas sweaters, why don't you put out to your friends to bring a jar of peanut butter or some fruit mince pies, and, you know, everyone brings some fruit mince pies and they can take them down to the holiday grocery. Or I guess like canned ham, anything like that would be a huge help.
Yeah, non-perishables are the easiest for us to work with, and... I would be more than happy to connect with you and figure out a way to get them to us.
So everyone who's having ugly Christmas sweater parties, you need to get everyone to bring a can or something like that, and all that can go to the AIDS Vancouver's Holiday Grocery. When they have to feed over 800 people in one day, they definitely need all the help they can. Well, we have one more song with Heidi Morgan, and then we're going to bid her adieu, and I'm very excited to hear this song. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, this one is my own.
Yay!
And this song is it's about, you know how you can't really fix something until you know it's broken? This is about recognizing how broken things are, and the hope in it is that we'll see how broken things are and then be able to heal.
Excellent. Well, you're on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. You're about to hear Heidi Morgan, and what is the song?
It's called Shanty.
Shanty. Excellent. On CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
Spirit calling. Help us find the light.
If I can get the bloomin' button on, CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. Oh, it's fun times here. And that was such a stunning song. How haunting.
Thank you.
Is your voice.
Thanks.
Holy moly. Where did you do that one? Was that a live or was that in the studio?
That was live. It was part of the Heart of the City Festival in the downtown East Side in 2007.
That and was a live performance.
Live, yeah.
Well, that was really good quality. That was amazing.
It went out of over CFRO.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, do you have a MySpace?
I do.
So.
And I'm going to tell you about it. So it's, the www.myspace.com/ Heidi, Heidi, Morgans Music.
Heidi Morgans Music.
You got it.
So if you like that, check out her other stuff. Are you performing soon?
Not anytime soon, no.
But you put it up on your MySpace when you're performing and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, you bet.
So keep going back to check out Heidi Morgans MySpace, and not only does she do good stuff around the community, she also has some pretty spectacular lungs.
Mm, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
Oh, don't stop. Don't stop.
No, really,
stop.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on my World AIDS Day show today. One more plug before we go. How can people be involved? How can they donate? Let's get these cans and food to the AIDS Vancouver grocery.
Yeah, check out our website, www.aidsvancouver.org. Go under what we do, look under the grocery page, and you'll find our contact information. Again, I would be more than happy to hear that you've organized, a food drive.
An ugly Christmas sweater party.
You got it. And you got a ton of peanut butter or tuna or whatever you want, whatever your focus is. I'd be more than happy to talk to you and figure out how we can get that on our shelves.
Awesome. Well, the last question I always ask my guests before they leave, I always ask them, if you had one message to give to the world, what would it be? What's your message?
I think in the context of HIV and AIDS, is HIV really doesn't discriminate, and you never know. You may have people around you, you may have family members that are positive that you don't even know are positive. And so I think my message to the world is that we need to take care of ourselves and each other.
I couldn't say it better myself. Well, we have like two songs left. This has been a delight, Miss Morgan. Thank you so much for coming in, especially after a hard day at Whole Foods. And spread some Christmas cheer this year. Get your ugly Christmas sweater party and get everyone to donate a jar of peanut butter or something like that.
So money is good too.
And money, yes.
Yeah, you know, money is good. Thanks so much, Fleur, for having me.
My pleasure. So the next song we're going to play is from Dark Was the Night, which is a Red Hot organization compilation, which is an AIDS organization that raises funds to distribute to different AIDS service organizations. And I literally think we're going to have one more song. So without further ado, these guys played on Tuesday. I am absolutely devastated that I didn't get to see them because I would have loved to. This is The National with their song, what is it? So Far Around the Bend. You're on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
I know you're a serious lady, living off a teacup full of cherries. Nobody knows where you are living. Nobody knows where you are. Take a bath and get high through an apple. Wanted to cry, but you can't when you're laughing. Nobody knows where you are living. Nobody knows where you are. You're so far around the bend. So far around the bend. I'll run through a thousand parties. I'll run through 1 million bars. Nobody knows where you are living. Nobody knows where you are. You've been humming in a haze forever. Pray for pavement to get back together. Nobody knows where you are, living. Nobody knows where you are. You're so far around the bend. You're so far around the bend. There's no leaving New York.
The music says it all, but we'd like to say it again. Thank you, from all of us at CITR, for your generous support during our 2011 Fund Drive. We just couldn't do it without you.
You made a million dreams come true, and so I'm saying thank you, a million to you.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver, and we have about 3 minutes left and I want to play one more song. So I just want to say thank you so much to Heidi Morgan from AIDS Vancouver's grocery program for coming in to the show to tell us a bit about the wonderful work that AIDS Vancouver does, especially around their grocery program for people that are in need. I hope everyone has worn their red ribbons today in support of World AIDS Day, and if you would like to donate, please go visit AIDSvancouver.org and find out more about the wonderful things they do. All right, I will see you in 2 weeks. I hope you have a great start to the December craziness. I just want you guys to quickly know that Fund Drive, yes, Fund Drive is over, but we are still accepting donations right up until November 30th. We are at about 26 or so grand and we need to make it to 35. I'm $10 off my show goal, so if anyone would like to donate $10 to Are You Aware, you will help me reach my goal of $275 for this show. I am going to leave you with another song from Dark Was the Night. This is one of my favorite bands, Yesaya and Tightrope. You're on CITR 101.9 FM. Be good to each other.
If you wanna get it big time.